Greetings, Christian friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze coming to you with an update. We have been looking for 100 people to commit $25 a month for 1 year to support this program. We have had many people make that commitment, but we are still looking for others who want to partner with this ministry. If this program has been a blessing to you, would you prayerfully consider how you can help us? Remember, even if you cannot participate financially, prayer is always in order. Stay tuned, and our announcer will let you know how to contact us. God richly bless you.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude his message titled, The Lord Saves. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of The Lord Saves.
Since then, I've thought a lot, but I haven't said too many since then. I wish I had time to tell you about regeneration. I wish I had time to tell you about redemption this morning. How that Christ died on the cross and how that I was on the slave block of sin. And I had sold my soul to the world. And how that Christ came along and he redeemed me with his blood. How that he brought me off of the slave block of sin, cleaned me up, put me in his house, put me on a solid rock to stand. I wish I had time to talk about this great salvation this morning. I wish I had time this morning to talk about reconciliation. How that one time me and God were enemies. How that one time I shook my fist in the face of God and said, get your hands off of my life. I wish I had time to tell you how that I was lost and undone without God and his son, but he reached down for me. I wish I had time to tell you this morning how that I was a servant of the devil and how that I did all the things for myself and for the world, but God sent Jesus to reconcile me unto him. I wish I had time to tell you about this great salvation this morning. I wish I had time to tell you this morning about adoption, how that I was in the family of the devil, and how that Jesus told the Pharisees, you are of your father the devil. But praise God, in Romans we read now that we have been saved, we have been redeemed, we have been reconciled, we have been regenerated, that now we are adopted into the family of God. And so no longer I'm a foreign, a stranger, or an alien, but I'm now a child of God. I wish I had time to tell you this morning about this great salvation that I have and how that I have union with Christ. How that Christ is in me and I'm in him. How that, oh, you ought to catch my series on Wednesdays where I'm talking about the eternal security of the believer. How that nothing can separate us from the love of God. I wish I had time to tell you this morning how that neither life nor death nor principalities nor powers nor angels nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. I wish I had time this morning to tell you about this great salvation that I have. I wish I had time to tell you this morning about sanctification, how that God gives me strength every day to live the life that he's called me to live, how that God has given me strength to overcome temptation, how God has given me strength to overcome the wicked things of the world, how that God has given me strength to live a life that glorifies him. I wish I had time. I wish I had time this morning to tell you about the contents of this salvation. Oh, I can only just scratch the surface of this salvation. I can just scratch the top of it. I mean, each one of those doctrines, man, you could probably spend a year just teaching on justification. You could spend a year teaching on regeneration. This is a great salvation that we have. The salvation is great not only because of the Creator, not only because of the contents. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. This salvation is great because of the cost. Look what we're already there in 1 Peter. Let's just continue on. Let's continue on in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your vain manner of life received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Gold couldn't buy your salvation. Silver couldn't make you right with God. There's only one thing that could make you right with God, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you why it had to be Jesus. You know, I shared with you as I was perusing last week, getting ready and doing some studying, I ran across this poster, and it said, "You Christians hate your God so much that you murder him." And I said, well, I wish I could have wrote something underneath it, because I would have wrote, "No, our God loves us so much that he died for us." And so when you think about this great salvation that we have, somebody had to die. Somebody had to die. But let's check the role. Abraham, well, he lied about Sarah being his wife. He couldn't die for us. David, well, yeah, we already know David is out. You know, he committed sin with Bathsheba. Joseph, he might be a good king. Well, you know, he kind of bragged a little bit about, you know, one day he was going to be exalted over his brothers. Well, you know, I got somebody that can die. You know, I know this guy can die. The Apostle Paul, well, no, Paul can't die because he said that he was the chief of sinners. Well, what about, oh, I know. What about Daniel? You know, you look at Daniel, don't seem to be a blemish on his record. He could die. Well, you know, when you turn to Psalm 51, it says, "In sin did my mother conceive me, that I was born with a sin nature." So as good as Daniel was, he couldn't die. Only God could die. But wait a minute. God can't die. If God could die, then he would cease to be God. So what did God do? He stepped out of eternity, stepped into the body of a human, lived a life on this earth, died on the cross. The only way that our sins could be paid for was that God would die. But notice also that God, it had not only be God that died, but he had to live this life sinless. Oh, where you get that? Look at verse 19. "But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." That not only did the Son of God die, but God the Son died. Not only did he die, but he was the perfect lamb that takes away the sin of the world. And so Peter says that you have not been redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold. And I often give this illustration. I gave it on the radio. And somebody, this was years ago that I gave this illustration. And somebody reminded me that heard a program years ago, reminded me of this illustration. I remember when my kids were growing up, one of them, I gave $5. And we went somewhere and came back in the car, and they had this thing called, I don't know if you remember, it's called Pogs. It was a little tube, and it had these little cardboard things that were about a quarter size, and it had some kind of picture on the front of it. And brought this little tube back with these little cardboard things in there for $5. I said, "You mean to tell me that you spent $5 on some cardboard? You just wasted that $5. And I think about God when he looks at our lives, and when he sees the way that we live, and we see the way that we treat him, and how we don't spend time with him, and how we do our own thing. If God doesn't look over at Jesus and say, "Jesus, they've been redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ," did we pay too much for that? Did we pay too much?
We would like to take a short break for a brief word from Dr. Glaze.
Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and I'm coming to you to talk about a new book that I have just written. And the title of the book is Heaven, Answers for Today, Hope for Tomorrow. When it comes to heaven,
Many people rely on Hollywood or someone who said that they died, went to heaven, and came back to life with their description of what heaven is like. However, everything God wants us to know about heaven is revealed in His Word. In this book, I will give you biblical answers to questions about heaven that have burned in the hearts of people for generations. Questions such as, what is heaven like? Are my loved ones in heaven watching over me? Do we become angels when we go to heaven? These and many more questions are answered in this new book, Heaven, Answers for Today, Hope for Tomorrow. Stay tuned, and the announcer will let you know how you can get a copy of my new book, Heaven, Answers for Today, Hope for Tomorrow.
Welcome back. We will now return to today's message.
Could God have gotten away with something lesser in a payment? I don't know about you, but I want to live my life in such a way that I'm worthy of the blood that Jesus Christ shed. I want to live in such a way that God would never think that I wasted that payment on Bill Glaze. But he's been redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. This is a great salvation. Zephaniah said, the Lord, the mighty warrior, what does he do? He saves. The next thing, the salvation is so great because of the coverage. This salvation is so great because of the coverage. Look with me in the notes. God demonstrated his love toward us while we were sinners. Romans 5:8. Someone has wisely said, salvation reaches from the guttermost to the uttermost. It saves the vilest sinner all the way to the most religious person. And sometimes the most religious person is harder to save than the vilest sinner. Andre Crouch put it like this. It reaches to the highest mountain and it flows to the lowest valley. That's why I had to sing that song, you know, over and over again at Calvary. Think about this. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. That God, who is eternal in the heavens, reached through the atmosphere, reached through the universe, reached through the stars and the clouds, and extended his arm all the way to Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Once my soul went astray from the godly and heavenly way, I was a wretch and a vile as could be. But my Savior in love gave me peace from above when he reached his hand for me. When the Savior reached down for me, when the Savior reached his hand for me, I was lost and undone without God or his son. And he reached down his hand for me. Doesn't matter who you are. Somebody said, I'm too terrible. You don't know what I've done. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. He can save the vilest sinner. John Newton was the captain of a slave boat, and he just treated people nasty. And I was reading one account in the Reader's Digest. Somebody wrote that this guy was so nasty that the people that worked for him hated him. And he fell off the boat one day. And in order to save him, they harpooned him in the thigh to drag him back in. That's how much that they hated this man. John Newton was a man who treated slaves any kind of way. But one night, John Newton was arrested by God reaching down, spanning that mighty gulf. He opened up his life and he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And so that's why he could write "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." This is a great salvation. This is a great salvation. It can save the vilest sinner. It can save a person who is mean, nasty, ugly. One guy, man, he just was a nasty guy. He was nasty, treated his wife nasty, treated his mother-in-law nasty, just everybody, man, just nasty. They was praying for him. He gets saved. He got saved. Boy, and I tell you what, when he got saved, he got on fire for the Lord. And he started witness. And he saw that his mother-in-law and his wife were not living for God like they said they were. He began to address them. And they said, "We was praying that you would get religion, but we didn't want you to get that much." Oh, let me tell you, that when God saves, he saves from the guttermost to the uttermost. From the vilest sinner in the street, that saint who don't know Christ, that been sitting up in the church all their life, he can save them. And then the last thing. This salvation is so great because of the creator, the contents, the cause, the coverage. And then I like this. It's a great salvation because of the cleansing. There is no other religion. You name one. Saints, name me one. Name one that provides atonement for sin. None. That's why I say only God can think up salvation. In all other religions, a person has to do something. In Christianity, it's already been done. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." Well, what was he talking about? When he said, "It is finished," what does that mean? What's finished? Well, again, you've probably heard me say this before, but they've done excavation in the Holy Land, and they found documents that were financial documents. And across the financial document, it seemed to be what was a bill, and across the front of the document was stamped the word tetelestai. And tetelestai means paid in full. And so when Jesus said, "It is finished," he meant that the sin of mankind has been paid in full. What cleansing, there was at the cross. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This is powerful. Let me say, I'm going to give you a word picture of this cleansing. All right, I'm going to give you a word picture of this cleansing. It says in verse 9, now stay with me, because this is going to show you this great cleansing of this salvation. "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you are washed. But you are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." So let me just put this in perspective, because some may say, well, what do those words mean? Let me break them down for you. Fornication, that means to have sex outside of marriage. And such were some of you. Idolatry, those who put things before God. And such were some of you. Homosexuality, men having sex with men and women having sex with women. And such were some of you. Thieves, those who steal. And such were some of you. Covetousness, those who try to keep up with the Joneses. Those who try to get more and get all you can all you get and sit on the can. And such were some of you. And alcoholics, those who get sloppy drunk, such were some of you. And abusive talking, those who talk rough and mean and nasty to somebody else, and such were some of you. And swindlers, people who try to swindle somebody out of a buck or swindle them out of something else. He says, such were some of you. Fornicators, idolaters, homosexuals, thieves, covetous, alcoholics, abusive talking, swindler, such were some of you. But the blood of Jesus is so powerful that it can wash. It can wash you clean. As we look at the Bible, Deacon Hart, if you put up that one slide, when you look at the Bible and you look at how God has looked over the period of time, and you think about the judges, or you think about the law that Moses gave, it couldn't govern sin out. You think about judges and how that they couldn't judge sin out. You think about the kings and how they couldn't rule sin out. You think about the prophets and how they couldn't preach sin out. You think about the psalmists and how they couldn't sing sin out. But you look at Jesus Christ. He has the power to root sin out. He has the power to dig down deep in your spirit and root out any sin that's in your life if you just let him. I like what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and such were some of you. But now you are washed, you are clean, you are justified, you are sanctified. And so Zephaniah said, the Lord our God is a warrior who delivers, who saves. We have a God that saves, and we have a great salvation. So as we come, as I close, as we come to this Christmas, and think about what should our response be to this great salvation. In Psalm 116, verse 12, it says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits to me? The challenge. Now, I know that throughout the year, we need to be thinking about this. But just since it's Christmas, since it's Advent, let's just give a special challenge. What special way can you serve him? Can you and your family, you know, maybe one of the great things that you can do with your children or your grandkids is to see if there's opportunities to go serve at a soup kitchen, go serve the homeless, go serve the hungry. You know, what special way? You know, what can you do over and above the ordinary this Christmas for this great salvation that you have? What special offering can you give me?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of The Lord Loves Us. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Lord Saves, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Lord Saves. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Lord Saves. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Also, Dr. Glaze is the author of 5 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.